really spirit in the realm of the kingdom, you would think that he's kind of picking on us. And he's given us some hard words. He's dealt with us about such things as mercy and loving kindness and goodness and his throne and the Ark of the Covenant and what's in that ark. And he's been dealing with us about some things. And honestly, if you didn't know what was going on in the Christian realm, if you didn't know what was going on in the kingdom and the word and the messages that are coming forth, you would think he was picking on us. We're down in Griffin the other Sunday night at church, and Pastor Buren shared a little joke. And you know how I am with telling jokes, but this was not that funny anyhow, so if you don't laugh, it really won't offend me. But anyway, he was telling about, what was his name, Clyde? Clyde. Clyde was out plowing, and the tractor turned over, and Clyde was pinned under the plow of that tractor. And it was early in the morning, and he knew no one would be looking for him until dark. And so he was laying up under that plow, and he looks up into heaven. He says, God, why does these things always happen to me? Why is this always happening in my life? And a voice came to Clyde and said, Clyde, something about you just ticks me off. And sometimes, you know, the words that the Lord brings here, you could easily, you know, God, what are we doing that ticks you off? And I don't think that that's what happens, you know, that's not what's happening here. The Lord is wanting to do something in our lives, in our midst, and he's trying to say something. And I'm hoping that today what the Lord has showed me that I believe that he's trying to say to us is going to help us. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, and in verse, I want to start with about verse 14. We read this last week, but even as I read it last week, it didn't get on me like it got on me this morning. I know it's in here. There it is. Since then, we have a great high priest. Now, who is this high priest that is the great high priest? Jesus Christ. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. In other words, he's passed through the spirit realm. Do you see that? He's passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Now, where has he passed through the spirit realm and gone to? Where? The heavens, all right. Now, where is he in the heavens? He's in the throne. That's what I want you to see. He is in the throne. He passed through the heavens, and now he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's in the throne. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So this passage is dealing with sin. Do you see that he's mentioning sin here? So we're dealing with about temptation. We're dealing here about coming before one who has been tempted in everything that you've ever been tempted in, that everything that I've ever been tempted in, and we're talking about going to somebody who has been tempted in all those things, and yet he understands them, but yet didn't fall into them. Then verse 16. Let us therefore, why? Because he's been through them. Let us therefore draw near with confidence, not cockiness, with confidence to the throne of what? Grace. Give me a biblical definition of the throne. Do you see it there? Go ahead. It's all right if you say it. Say the throne is grace. The throne is grace. Now give me a biblical definition of grace. The throne. Are you seeing that? The throne is God's grace, and God's grace is his throne. Now, that's going to get bigger in us, but I just want to bring that out because this is where it kind of birthed in me. If you don't understand God's grace, you don't understand God's throne. By grace are you saved. Okay? Just stop there a second. By the throne, by God's authority, are you saved? If you don't understand the grace, if you don't understand the throne, you're not going to understand your salvation. You're going to start, I'm going to show you in just a little while, where sin reigned. In other words, sin was on the throne in your life, but now sin's not on the throne in your life. Grace is the throne that's on your life. And God is on, Jesus Christ is on that throne, and you're sitting in the throne with him. Are you with me? I know you are, But I know you're eating, and this is a little more. But see, the throne of grace. Grace is the throne. The throne is grace, that we may receive mercy, and find what? Grace. Find the throne to help us in a time of need. What would you rather have than God's throne and God's authority when you need something? Amen. Huh? Boy, when I want something, I want to go to the throne. And is there anything above that throne? Nope. So what he says happens, happens. Is this correct? There is no name above his name. He is far above every name that's named. So when I go to the throne, I'm going to the grace of God. When I go to grace, I'm going to the throne of God. I'm saved by that grace. That throne is in my life and on my life. I'm in it. It's in me. Are you with me now? Okay. Now, last week, we talked about David, and we're still going to be talking about David, but I really didn't want to go to David this week. I didn't want to get into Absalom and all that stuff, and I really didn't want to preach. I couldn't really study. It felt like it was such a heavy word last week, and that we just needed some still waters. We just needed some time to chew our cud and lay down a while and eat on that. The Lord brought me back to it, and I just couldn't get away from it. I got up this morning, and I said, Lord, I said, you know, I know what you're pressing. I felt to go back to these 5 points of amazing grace. And I said, Lord, I really don't want to do that. I really don't. I said, haven't I preached some good message somewhere along these past years that maybe I could share that would be really good, and we could just eat and lay down a little while? But I came back to this. And I'm so glad that I did, because I'm seeing that God's grace is God's throne. And God's throne is God's grace. Now, 5 points that we looked at last week, and what I sensed to the Lord just to do was to bring these 5 points back and tie them up with New Testament scriptures concerning grace. The 5 points of God's amazing grace concerning David's sin with Bathsheba was, number one, David's sin. Did David sin? He'd sin. It was a big sin. It was a sin that'll send you to hell. Not only was it adultery, but it was also murder. And you won't find adulterers and you won't find murderers in heaven. Okay? You'll find those in the pit. Now, David sinned, and it was a big one. But where sin doth abound, what does much more abound?
Grace.
Grace. Or the throne. Huh? Where sin reigned, grace, the throne of God does much more reign. The devil could reign. But I want you to know there's something bigger than the devil.
Amen.
The devil has grace. He has influence. He has power and authority. But I want you to know there's one that's got more power, and there's one that's got more authority, and there's one that's got a bigger throne. David sinned. Then number two, David's heart was convicted. Nathan came to David and pointed his finger, and he says, "Thou art the man." Galatians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, "The grace or the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Not just be with you, but be with your spirit. How many knows that grace is with your spirit? Now, where is your spirit? It's in you, okay? Without the body, without the spirit, the body is dead. Your spirit dwells in you. Now, Paul says, I want grace to be with your spirit. Now, where did Jesus say that he and the Father would make their abode? Within you. Is that right? He says, me and the Father, you obey my commandments, and you be obedient to my word. He says, the Father and I will come, and we'll make our abode, our dwelling place. You'll become our mansion, and we'll live in you. So does he come and live in us? And then we become what the Bible calls the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is this correct?
Amen.
We're the temple. Now, would he build a temple without putting a throne in his temple? Huh? So then where is his throne? In you. Where's his grace? In us. His grace is in us. His grace is on us. We received it. We're sitting in it. I'm telling you, we're not only baptized into his grace is in us. We're in him. We can't miss. We're in the throne. The throne's on us. And this is all leading to a point, because you see, he wants his people to reign. And sin can't reign because grace is reigning. So Paul said, I want grace to be with your spirit. Now this is why the believer becomes convicted when the believer sins, or when he offends a brother, or when he does something that he knows isn't pleasing to the Lord. What happens is there is grace in his spirit, or grace with his spirit, and what happens is that grace, that throne of God that's within each believer, begins to convict the believer. You get convicted, and David got convicted. The grace of the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ is with our spirit. Let's skip that little part. David sinned. David's heart was convicted. And then number three, David repented. Did God's grace bring David to repentance? God's throne, God's authority. He did what Hebrews 4:16 said to do. He found grace to help in a time of need. He came to the throne of grace and he found help. Now, David was a pretty important fellow, wasn't he? Wasn't he? I mean, he bowed to nobody. He was the most powerful king in the world at that time. He bowed to no one. But was David's throne large enough to keep him from the throne of God? Could David's grace save him? So then it's not by works, is it? Our throne is not big enough. I don't care how big a throne you got. I don't care how important we are. Every person has to learn to come to the throne of grace, to find grace to help in time of need. And every person here has had a need in your life. Whether it be sin or whether it be something else, there's needs that come in our life. And your throne's not big enough. My throne's not big enough. I've got to learn who is big enough. I've got to learn where grace is that can help me. I've got to learn like David learned. I've got to learn who's God. I want to read this, what I wrote. David had his own throne, his own grace. But his grace was not sufficient. He was becoming the most powerful king in the world, but his grace was not sufficient. David bowed to no mortal, but he had to bow before the throne of grace to find grace, which is the throne of God. It was enough to help him in a time of need. Grace is God's throne. No matter how big our throne is, it's never sufficient. Number four. First of all, David sinned. Then David's heart was convicted. David repented. Then number four that we saw, David was forgiven. Was David forgiven? Aren't you glad David was forgiven? Aren't you glad that his grace, not David's grace, but his grace, his throne, is sufficient? Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Are the riches of his throne. Does he have a rich throne? All his riches are wrapped up in his grace. And all his grace is wrapped up in his throne, in his authority. Number five. This was the part we didn't like last week. This was the part we all went home and had to chew on. David sinned. David's heart was convicted. David repented. David was forgiven. Was David forgiven? But did David reap what he sowed? David was chastened. What's happened in the church today, what's happened in Christendom, is that we've been taught, somehow persuaded, that we can sin, be forgiven of God, and thus be forgiven, and not have to reap any of the consequences of sin. I want to say that's a lie, and I believe it's a lie of hell. Because what happens when people do things, and then they repent, and God does forgive them, and then they begin to reap some of the things that they've sowed, they get discouraged with their walk with God, and they say, no, I'm really not saved. God really doesn't love me. Look what I'm having to go through. And they don't understand God's grace. They don't understand God's throne. They don't understand the ways of God. They're watching Him act, but they don't understand why. And this is what the Lord really wants to say to us today, and I'm not going to linger here. I'm not going to linger here. I want to say this and I want to leave it. You can sin, you can commit adultery and you can murder somebody, you can truly repent, you can truly be forgiven of God, but it will never stop what's going to happen because of that sin that was committed. Yeah. It doesn't affect your relationship with God. You have redeemed that relationship. That relationship has been restored with God, but it will not stop the consequences of that sin.
Right.
Now, young people, I really want you to hear this. There is a word, there's a gospel that's going out, and it says that, oh, come to Jesus and everything will be all right. Not if you sin, everything will be all right, folk. You can have relationships with Him. You can prophesy and talk in tongues. You can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. But if you're in sin, you're going to reap the consequences of the sin. David was forgiven. His relationship with the Lord was redeemed and restored. However, God is not mocked. That's a New Testament scripture. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that too shall he also reap. Let's go on. If he sows to the flesh, then from the flesh he will reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, then from the Spirit he will reap life eternal, everlasting. You're going to reap what we're sowing. And that's what the Lord is saying in this hour to His church. Not this church, His church. This isn't His only church. There is churches everywhere, and they're preaching what I'm preaching. I even heard Pat Robertson talking about the law the other day. Kenneth Copeland. God's people are a lawful people. And it's not that we're under the law. The law's in us. It's not on tables of stone any longer. It's on the circumcised tablets of your heart.
Hallelujah.
We're not under the law. We're under grace. We're not under the throne of the law.
Amen.
Thrones have changed.
Hallelujah.
Now the news is filled with what I've just said to you today. I'm going to read this. If those involved in the PTL scam have repented, then God has forgiven them. However, they birthed something that must die. They can fast. They can fall on their face. They can cry out to God and hope God will change His mind. And He may. But there's consequences to sin. God is not mocked. And here's what I want you to hear. Is that still coming from the same throne? That's still God's grace. God loved those men so much. He uncovered that thing. He unveiled that thing so they wouldn't go to hell. That's God's love, folks. That's God's mercy. That's God's grace. God loved David so much. So much. He loves you and me so much. Closing with two scriptures, I think. Romans 5:17. Does God love us? God loves us so much. I've been preaching God's love and I didn't even know it. That's what God's been saying to us. I want you to understand my love. I want you to understand my love. God's, I can just see Him. I love you. I love you. Romans 5:17. I know I'm kind of in the middle of a paragraph here. But I just to save time, find 17 there if you've got an NIV version or one of those translations that puts things into paragraphs. Now, for if by the transgression of the one, and this one is Adam, death reigned. What reigned? What was the throne? Death. Through the one, this is Christ, much more those who receive, and the word here is lambano, and it means an active seizing of something. In 1 John, where it says that He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him, it's a lambanoing. It's something that you've got to take. I can give you this, but if you don't take it, you haven't lambanoed it. Lambanoed is the final act of your taking it. Okay? Those who have received, those who have lambanoed this grace, the abundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness, what will they do? Huh? Reign! When? Out yonder in the sweet by and by? Where? In life. I mean, right now. If we can grasp His throne, if we can grasp His grace, if we can grasp what He's trying to say in the realm of the Spirit, if I can bring it in a way that you can hear it, we'll understand that sin doesn't reign in our lives anymore, that we reign over sin, and that we are victorious, and that we can walk in Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3 and overcome everything that comes our way, because no temptation has come against you, that He has not given you grace, the throne, the authority to overcome. Amen?
Amen?
I want you to understand that grace now reigns, not sin. You've heard me tell the story. There's a well-known man in this city. Took me to lunch and sat there and told me how he had to sin a little bit every day. And I says, no. So then, as though one transgressions there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one's act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. Justification means you're right before God. For as though the one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. And the law came in that transgression might increase. But where sin increased, the throne of God abounded all the more. Now, if grace is the definition of the throne, is that what began to abound? Did God's throne begin to abound? When He ascended and He went through the spirit realm and He sat down at the Father's right hand, now does grace abound? Grace abounds. Grace reigns. That as sin required, as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. What reigns? Grace. The throne to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to show you verse 12 of chapter 6. I want to show you, folks, you don't have to sin. None of us have. You know why we sin? We want to sin. How many's never enjoyed a good sin? Huh? Yeah. And it's fun for a season, but you know what it'll do to you? It'll kill you. The wages of sin is death. Okay. That's no revelation here. We know that. People dying because we keep sinning. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Is that the verse that I wanted? I thought that it was. I want it where sin no longer hath dominion over you. Huh? 14. Okay. Verse 14. For sin shall not be master or have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but what are you under? Grace. Folks, if we're walking in the grace, if we're walking in the throne of God, and the throne of God is not something that's out yonder in the sky. Where is it? You are the temple. Where is His throne? It's in us. If we're walking in this, if this becomes a lifestyle to us, sin doesn't reign. It can't tell you any longer what you will and what you won't do. Grace reigns, and you get to tell it. You have no dominion over me. Now, I can't close without looking at Ephesians chapter 2, because how many knows what you're saved by? Grace. And grace defined as what we're looking at this morning is what? God's throne. So you're saved by God's authority, by God's throne. Right? There's no authority above that authority. And that's what He has just said in Ephesians 1. How far is His name above every name? Far above. Is there any name above Him? There's not one. Principalities have to bow. Kings have to bow. I want to start. Where do I want to start? Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. How many of you can relate to that? There was a point in your time when you knew you were a child of wrath. Okay. But God, say that. But God being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by what? By grace, by His authority, by His throne, you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and did what? Seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, you're not sitting in the sky somewhere. Where are you? Where are you seated? You're right here. But you're with Christ in His throne right now. And if grace is reigning in you, then you're reigning in life in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace, of His throne, of His authority, and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, for by His authority, for by His throne, you've been saved. Judy was talking to you earlier about the rope that we have tied around our leg. And God, how many has ever experienced that? You just kind of slipped away from God, you know. You knew it was wrong, but you just trying to slip away. And all of a sudden, you've been saved. And once you're saved, folks, you can go to hell and you'll find Him. He's there. He's everywhere. I don't mean if you're saved, you're going to hell. You understand what I think of it. You're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That's not of your throne. Okay, it wasn't of David's throne. It's a gift of God. You've got a lambano it. Not as a result of works, not as a result of your throne, that no one should boast. And then I'm going to read verse 10 because it'll set us up for tonight. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God, what? Prepared. When? Did God know you were coming? Huh? Is our God that big? He prepared in advance that we should walk in them. Tonight we'll be talking about such things as predestination and foreknowledge and those kinds of things. And also looking, though, at the Lord still wants everybody saved. We'll be talking about that tonight. I want to close, and I'm through. There's a lot of things we can say about God's grace. But I want you to get a definition. When you read the word grace in your scriptures, and you can't read scriptures without reading that word grace, but you'll start to see in God's throne. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 is what we're talking about. By grace we're saved. Grace is His throne, and it's not by works. It's by His throne. It's by His covenant. What's in the throne? What's in the ark? His authority? His covenant? Come on, folks. Don't leave out His manna, His goodness. He's good too. Okay? His goodness. His authority, all that's in his throne. That's where He sits between the cherubim on that mercy seat. And I'm done when I just quote you this scripture in 2 Peter 3, verse 18. It says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Grow. Grace is not a one-time experience. Grace is a way of life. We eat grace. We think grace. We walk in grace. We get out of the bed in grace. We go to bed in grace. Okay? It's a way of life. And we grow in grace. Grow in the throne. Grow in the knowledge of His authority. Grow. Grow, He says. Peter says, I want you to grow in the grace of God. I want you to grow. And we know how the church is supposed to come to maturity. Grace does not come once. Grace is what we dwell in. We are not just saved by grace. We walk in grace. We dwell in grace. We grow in His grace. We grow in His throne. And if you're reigning, where are you? You're in His throne. You're in His grace. Does God love us? Oh, you know God loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. His love is His grace. His throne is His grace. Everything's His throne. Everything's His grace. And you're saved by all that He is. Nothing can supersede that. Heads bowed.